Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is episode number 581 of the Whence Came You podcast. Right away, I want to thank our supporters, which are our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners of the show. We cannot do this without you, and we really appreciate it. If you want to learn more about how to support the WCY podcast, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out the various options. Today, we've got a great interview lined up. We've got Brother Chad Kopensky, who is a former head of education for the Grand Lodge of Ohio, as well as the current president of the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, which I think we'll get into this, but I think they're probably going to drop the Midwest soon because they're getting to be so large and awesome that it's just going to be this Conference on Masonic Education that is pretty much one of the only official Grand Lodge involved/sanctioned kind of things. So before we head into that, I just want to remind everybody out there, I want to say thanks for your patience. And, you know, with the busy schedule that we've had, I've not had a ton of time to put together the podcast just the last 2 weeks. And so I'm putting this together. We're doing this interview at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, February 8th. And the goal is to have this out for you guys tonight and another episode next Sunday. So with all that said, I want to thank thank you all for your patience and introduce Brother Chad Kopensky. Brother Chad, thank you so much for finding the time this afternoon. I know it's hard to find time sometimes, but I want to thank you very much for coming.
Gosh, thank you for again, I also have 580 some of these things. I don't know how you find the time between all your traveling and stuff that you do. You are a machine, sir. Let's just call you the machine from now on. So
I think Bert, that comedian Bert.
Yeah, Bert has that down.
I can't be the machine. I could be like, I don't know, figure it out.
We'll figure something out. You know, the mechanism, something along those lines. Thank you for having me on here. I really do. You know, you and I have a interesting history. We actually met at the Midwest Conference in Iowa, how many years ago that was. So this conference has been near and dear to my heart for years. It's just one of these amazing ways for brethren from around the country who wouldn't normally connect to gather, to connect, to make those, you know, those meaningful connections that just sort of make masonry what it is and, make it just enrich your lives. So.
Yeah, and I think the first, like I said, the first time we met, you changed really, and I've said this a bazillion times, but it bears mentioning every time, you really did change how I thought about Masonic education quite a bit. Something as experiential as connecting and how you can kind of flip the script on Masonic education to really be something that connects deeper than just your superficial nuggets of information or your historical papers, but rather, it's almost like throwing out these etheric ideas in a room full of people that other people go, oh my God, I felt that way too. Let's connect on that. But you're connecting deeper on these other elements. So, number one, thank you for like opening my eyes and I think a lot of people's eyes to this.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Of course. Yeah. And, so regarding the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, the website is mcme1949.org, which alludes to the founding of the Midwest Conference, 1949. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the longest running Masonic education conferences. I think the only one that has been around longer and yet is probably not all just education. Is AMD week happening, you know, later this week.
Right.
And so what is interesting is we call it the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education. And to our understanding, there was a Mid-Atlantic, there was, like a kind of Colorado side, a West Coast one.
Yep, that side too.
And everything since kind of died off, right? And Midwest Conference is the mm-hmm. one that stands right. strong. Why do you think that is?
There's a couple of reasons of why I think that is. One, I think there, for lack of a better word, I think there are a couple of major players in the Midwest. I mean, if you look at, you know, of course, I have to say Ohio only because, you know, if I don't, I think somehow somebody will knock on my door. But, I mean, look at Iowa. Iowa has an absolutely phenomenal library there, and they've really pushed that research and really pushed that those sort of connections that way. Illinois, obviously. I mean, look at what their education committee has done. Look at what they've done over the years in terms of just kind of defining what education is and can be. Kansas, lately. I mean, there's a lot of those jurisdictions that, even if they haven't been members, they've just been influential. Likewise, I mean, you know, there's sort of a Midwest against the world ethos, truthfully. I come from Wisconsin, you know, and we sort of joke about Wisconsin against the world. And even though I live in Ohio, there's still kind of the, you know, Midwest against the world. I think that may be why that is that sort of mentality and that sort of thought. So the Midwest, I mean, like I said, has a strong tradition, but I mean, that is also changing as well. I mean, what's interesting about this conference to me, especially recently, is they changed their focus a little bit. It used to be a lot more about just these different member jurisdictions kind of getting up and saying what it was that they were doing. But the last couple of years, we've started to look holistically at Masonry across the country in general. And we notice that there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of trends that then we start kind of pulling the threads on those trends. You know, why do we see the proliferation of one-day classes? Why do we start seeing a reduction in proficiencies, at least long-term proficiencies? Why do we start seeing them coming back? Why are we seeing more efforts like the Scottish Rite Pathfinder or House Royal Schofield Society or Minnesota's Masonic Light, where it's more geared towards people outside of Lodge? And, you know, for lack of a better word, your industry, the absolute explosion of Masonic podcasts. So now we're seeing that Masonic education is being untethered from the Lodge Room. And now much more, we're seeing that Masonic education is being redefined. It has to be. It has to sort of be redefined for the world that we're in. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that fluidity has, again, as you pointed out, really bolstered the Midwest Conference. When I've talked about the Midwest Conference in the past, and we've done reviews on past conferences and things on the Midnight Freemasons, you know, I have guys that contact me, and they say, what the heck is this thing, and why don't we have something like that? And I say, well, you used to.
That's true.
Yeah. So each year you guys have started to evolve, let's say, you guys have done increasingly more interesting things. Now, the first year I went, was 2019 or 2018, I think. And, we met and you gave your Pechacucha presentation, mm-hmm. Which was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And then we ended up doing like some breakout sessions in work. And I think that really assisted us in A, getting to know each other, B, really forming connections and networking with other grand jurisdictions. Now, when I first went to this, this, as I understood it at the time, it was like, oh, only Grand Lodge Education Committees can go. But the truth was anybody could go. And when I went as part of my committee, that was all well and good. But there were only like 18 or 19 guys there for a multi-state jurisdictional right. gathering. And I was like, this is a train wreck.
Yeah.
And I meant that in a way that was like, this has so much potential. And all it really did was once a few people really started to understand what it was and who could go, more and more people started showing up each year, and it would start to be talked about more online. And I think when you guys kind of bridged that gap, when you guys, you know, you had two cliffs, you had basically all of the Masons and you guys on the other side, you guys really brought the land up into the middle, right? And you connected everybody. And so now you guys have a great web presence, and people can go to the website, buy tickets and all of this stuff. And we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've noticed over the years is the evolution from Chad Kopensky, state education officer, getting up there and reading his 4-page report and then doing the same thing for, you know, Scott Duvall or, right, you know, whatever state. You guys did something really interesting. So you did a virtual one. Illinois mm-hmm. did a virtual one because right. it was during the pandemic. And then when you all came back and we were in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did something really interesting. You know, this evolution I was talking about. You took all of the standard documents and things and the reports that nobody, that people are interested in, but nobody wants to spend time doing that, right? You guys just put it all on a Google Drive and threw it on everybody's like lanyard. And you said, just scan mm-hmm. the QR code and you can see all the reports.
Right.
That was so rad. And mm-hmm. yeah, like what an incredible idea. It was really awesome to be able to do that. You know, that's what I did. I went back to the hotel. When I was at the hotel that night, Spencer and I shared a room. Mm-hmm. And we just sat there going through the reports and we're like, wow, these are cool ideas. And we picked up our ideas that way. And then the next day we would just go, hey, Chad, we heard y'all were doing this. Tell me about it.
Well, and that's the goal. That's why we did that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that was so cool because it made it so that the movers and shakers who are interested in what to do next, right? Mm-hmm. And who want to see what the other jurisdictions are doing can get together and they can read through these reports and then they can pick and choose, take their notes and who they want to talk to that next day
right.
and sit down with at lunch or at dinner or have a cocktail with and pick their brain on these things. And I thought that was really clutch.
Thanks. The thing that I think, let me just kind of back up here a second, because you made a couple of points that I think are going to be pretty important to this point that, you know, you just made. When the conference first started, the idea was sort of almost to rival the Conference of Grandmasters, which, I mean, they have different timelines. But the idea was to get those guys all in the room. And for years, there was not necessarily a competition, but there was definitely like, if you're a Grand Lodge jurisdiction and you have money to spend, where are you going to get the most bang for your buck? Right. And so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of those regional education conferences went away is just because there just wasn't the money and the support behind it. So we are lucky that the Midwest has lasted. But one of the things that we've realized is that all masonry is local. And so when we're trying to get Grand Lodges to get away from that idea of the sort of monolithic idea of education, that education is this and all lodges will do this and this works for everything, because it doesn't. If you're in Wisconsin, what works in Madison doesn't work in Milwaukee or Rhineland or Wausau. If you're in Illinois, Chicago is not the same as, you know, what, Metropolis or St. Charles. If you're in Ohio, you know, you're in got the three C's. It's not the same as Marietta or Athens or, you know, wherever. And so, there are good ideas everywhere. And so the idea is, instead of getting just that one monolithic idea, the one Grand Lodge education guy in there, get him also in the room with people at all levels, at the street level, at the district level, at the whatever levels. The more that brethren talk, the more that brethren connect, the more that brethren share those ideas, the better those ideas become. And we realized during those jurisdiction reports, because originally, I mean, I read 3 years of them and I'm like, no one's saying the same things. No one's answering the questions that I want answered. Once we started asking some of just those basic questions, how do you do proficiencies? How do you mentor your candidates? How are you structured? Do you have district education officers, lodge educators? Who's responsible for education? Heck, even getting districts to, say what their definition of education was. That's a whole other, exploration. And I could talk for half an hour just on that, because that's evolved and weird and interesting. But getting guys outside their bubble, getting guys to start connecting and realizing the good ideas that are out there, that's the benefit of the conference. And one of the things that, I mean, Scott, as you talked about, who, is amazing and really helped kind of, push us in this direction. He realized, and I realized that, and I kind of jokingly call it the traveling Wilburys concept of masonry, that if you get enough good guys in a room, something cool is going to happen. And that oftentimes the best part of these conferences are those unstructured activities. After the conference, the three or four guys kind of sitting at a table and just talking. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you have some great big initiative comes out of just that conversation, or those great connections, or those great speakers, or something happens that happens just because it's in that unstructured activity where you can allow brethren to speak on what is most important to them. So, and I think as the conference, one of the things that we are really leaning into, and I think especially this year we're trying to lean into that, for lack of a better word, structured, unstructured activity. We want to give you an opportunity to, see the things that are important and kind of see what's going on. But we also want to facilitate those random connections, those conversations, to have you look at those jurisdiction reports and see, oh, wow, Missouri is doing... They're coming up with their own kind of educational honor society. And, how are they developing that? How is Indiana's doing some great work with online with a drip campaign that they do? Michigan has just rejoined the conference. And they actually have a really neat YouTube series that they do for the brethren. Wisconsin's trying to do some things. Laramie's doing he has some struggles there. He's trying to do some good things. But that allows you to find those guys at the conference, pull them aside, and just talk to them. And again, exchange ideas, look at common problems, identify individual solutions.
Yeah, totally love this. Something else I wanted to kind of bug you about is during this evolution, you've developed these themes, for better lack of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The 2023 conference theme is intentional masonry. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. There's a brother who's no longer with us. His name is Chad Simpson, and he for 20 some years was director of programs for Grand Lodge of Ohio. And he and I were close friends. And he and I were just talking one day and trying to figure out what direction we wanted the conference to go. And he said, part of the conversation comes to the idea of intentional masonry, meaning how do we get brethren as individuals or as a lodge, as a district, as grand lodges, whatever, how do we get them to craft a unified lodge experience that reflects what is individual and valued and unique about masonry? And this kind of goes back to some things that we've talked about with the idea that we want to get away from that McDonald's franchise model of masonry, that it's okay for lodges to be different. It's okay for lodges to provide a different experience. That, you should expect, if you go to a lodge on one side of town versus the other, you should expect a commonality. But it's okay if a lodge provides a different experience, if they have different values, if their degrees are slightly different, because it reflects the character of that lodge, what that lodge values, what, the history, what is unique about that lodge. But historically, that hasn't been something that Grand Lodges have necessarily supported. If you look, again, about 40, 50 years ago, we get that business model of education where we're trying to get the same experience in every single lodge. Now, I can speak at least for Ohio. That's something that we have tried very hard to swing the other way, and we're seeing many more jurisdictions doing the same. trying to kind of get their lodges, I mean, to empower them and say, like, it's okay for you to be different. It's okay for you to do something your own way. And here's how you can do that. And so the theme this year is that exploration of, well, okay, what are some ways that we can enlighten and empower brethren, lodges, districts, grand lodges? What's a process we can walk them through? What are some techniques and tactics we can give them? And how should we do that? Because that's much harder than just saying, no, you all must do things the same way.
Wonderful. I really like this. I struggled with the quote unquote unified Masonic experience as defined by many of our grand jurisdictions as just the degrees, right? Like, I think beyond this, I think the Masonic experience that we should all share needs to happen however that lodge makes that deeper part of the onion be that common experience.
My background is in theater, and when you learn to be a director, they tell you that the audience's experience starts as soon as they turn off their car. So what is their experience as they walk across the parking lot, as they come into the theater? And these are things you should consider, because, and the idea of unity in that sense is, that if they come into this really gorgeous, beautiful, old, you know, ornate theater, let's not have just a really awful-looking, shabby set on stage. Or if, as they walk in, maybe there's music playing that helps set a particular mood or sets a particular tone to you know, what they're experiencing. And you can go pretty crazy. You can start doing, you know, burning incense and lighting. You can go pretty crazy. But even just to have that discussion as a director in a theater, crafting that particular experience that supports the entire production so that they don't have one experience coming in, one experience while they're there, and one experience on the way out. And that's the unity we're talking about with that idea of lodge experience. When your brethren come in, what, not just for the degrees and not just the ritual, but that's important of it, what is their experience in a lodge? What does this lodge value? Do their actions match their values? And if not, either change your values or change your actions. And I realize I'm speaking kind of nebulously, but there's two examples that I really like. One involving ritual and one not, that I think kind of illustrate this. The one involving ritual, at some point somebody puts, you know, an apron on you the first time. And there's a lodge in Ohio that we were all kind of talking about what's the most important part of ritual. What's the most important moment? And this one guy got up and said, you know, when they put the apron on me the first time, the person just yanked that knot tight. And I felt those, you know, those cords, they cut into me, they wrapped into me, and I felt that weight of the apron. And I just had the moment of realizing, you know what, I'm obligated. I'm going to be carrying this with me the rest of my life. I feel that obligation. And as the brethren was sitting there talking, they're like, wow, that's a really cool moment. Oh, that's really awesome. So now when they initiate somebody, they snap those cords and they make that a moment. And then after the degree, they tell him the story, like, this is what we did to you and here's why. The second moment, which is non-ritual, which I thought was just so simple and so brilliant, and that I'm amazed that no one ever thought of this. In most Masonic meetings, there's the purge, right? There's everyone, you know, and somebody closes the door and then they start the meeting. This one lodge I went to, the worshipful master and the senior warden stood on other side of the door. They stood outside the doors and they greeted all the brethren by name, shook their hands as they walked in. So as a brother, you're walking in and, you know, the master, you know, if he doesn't know you, he shakes your hand, senior warden, same thing. And then when 7:30, your time came, the master and senior warden looked at each other. Okay. They closed the doors. They took their seats and they started the meeting. And, when I asked them, they said, well, we've always done this. I said, well, what do you like about this? Because I kind of saw the benefits. He said, well, the wonderful part is that I don't get surprised as master. If some guy has something to bring up, he usually tells me about it right there in the doorway. If some guy has an issue or a concern, like, I know about it as soon as they come in. If somebody new comes in, I know about it right away. And I can say, oh, hey, you're new here. Hey, you know what? Why don't you go sit over there by Carl? Carl will help you through this right off the bat. Oh, you're our new EA? Awesome. Great. You know what? Perfect. We'll open up an EA today because we can do that. But you know what? Why don't you go sit by this person? I mean, it was a way for him and the senior warden to control the experience, just by standing outside at the beginning of the meeting. And as a brother, I'm like, oh, I must be important because this guy is standing outside in a top hat in a suit and saying, hi, Chad, how are you? Glad you're here. Have a seat. And when I said, do you realize how cool this is? I said, what? Everybody does this. I said, nobody does this. Nobody does this. And they should. It's something just so simple to create that unified lodge experience that reflects what this lodge values and what is unique and important about that lodge.
So interesting to hear you say, like, no one does this. I have been to so many lodges where I witness something that they do that I think is just, holy cow, what an impact that was, whether it's in the tiled setting or not. And I then go to those people later and I say, you guys realize that this is really special. Don't take it for granted. And they say things like, oh, yeah, we just, you know, do these things. And they don't realize that not everybody does it the way they do it. And that makes that is making it special. That is making it intentional.
Well, and that's the other part of the intentional. There shouldn't be in a Masonic lodge, there should never be the, oh, well, we always do it that way. Or how can you guys do that? I don't know. Well, hold on. If you don't know why you're doing it, then either invent a reason, like, but that's a whole other conversation, or talk about it. Is that really important that you do that? Is it really important, you know, that you pick an example, you know, spread your arms on, you know, especially this. I mean, why do you do that? And if it's not important, if there's not a reason behind it, then get rid of it.
This is like zero-based budgeting for a ritual.
Yeah. Well, you've heard me do my whole big spiel. Like, I have this whole presentation I do using my pocket knife as a tortured metaphor. You know, it's the idea they tell us all the time, right? Whence came you? What came you here to do? Right? So why is this thing here in your lodge? Where did it come from? And what's its purpose? Where did it come from? And what's it here to do? And if you can answer those questions about whatever, staffs, aprons, why you square your corners. I mean, yes, you can go down a rabbit hole and at some point you just have to kind of do it as opposed to like talking about it. But even just as a lodge knowing, oh, we do these things for these reasons because this is who we are. You create that tradition, you create that history, you create that experience that makes it special and meaningful. And guys are connected. You know, I mean, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but, you know, guys will drive 400 miles for Christmas dinner when all it really is this turkey and green beans. But no, it's because you're going home to your family and there's tradition and there's a connection there. Guys will drive 6 hours to go to a lodge meeting if it's a phenomenal, intentional, meaningful experience when they wouldn't cross the street for a lodge that just sort of like, oh, no. We just gotta do stuff because we do stuff. So, and I've kind of gotten off track of the.
No, I think this is
theme of the conference.
That those are wonderful examples. I want to ask you a little bit about this year's agenda.
Okay.
Can you walk us through what we're looking at? So first of all, this is the 2023 conference. It's happening April 28th through the 30th.
Yep. Canton Masonic Temple.
At the Most Canton of the work is going to be Masonic Temple.
Sorry.
Well, what's interesting about this, right, is before we've seen the conferences happen virtually, we've seen them happen at a conference center in Iowa, kind of, we've seen them happen different places, but I've actually not seen or read about the Midwest Conference happening at an actual Masonic temple. So that's kind of cool.
Thank you. I got really lucky, because I wanted to do it in a Masonic lodge for a lot of reasons. I hate to say that I'm kind of stealing from the MRF, but I remember going to an MRF meeting in Cincinnati, whenever that was, 20 years ago that was. And they had it at the Cincinnati Masonic Temple, and they did it in the multiple rooms of that building. And one, it's a beautiful building. Two, there's hotels are great, but to be actually in a historic and beautiful and ornate Masonic lodge. I was lucky that Canton was close by. It was accessible by, you know, airplane, sea, not by sea, but you know what I mean. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space that is, it's huge. And the district advisor in that space, kind of Eric Mullenbein, and as soon as I said, hey, I think I want to do this, he just kind of, he has a machine that he works with that just rolled up and made things so much easier so that I could focus on other things like the content. So, but having it in that Masonic Lodge, one, is it's a huge building, it's beautiful, they have everything we need there. And, you know, we've all seen hotels, but to spend some time in that building is important to me. The schedule. In the past, the conference has had like a big dinner and a keynote speaker on Friday. And then Saturday, we sort of do our work. And it's been one of those where we all kind of sit in a room and we kind of go from speaker to speaker or speaker to breakout session. And that's fine. It really is. And then at night, usually there's another speaker. And then, the Sunday morning, if we're lucky, we might do a breakfast if we have other things. My goal this year, basically I wanted enough different activities that you couldn't possibly go see everything. I wanted you to have to choose. And unfortunately, I wanted you to have to miss out on a few things. Because invariably, what will happen is, while we're sitting down at dinner or at lunch, you're going to talk to somebody who'd say, oh man, you're with Chris Greasy? How was that session? I really wanted to see how that was. And guys will start talking. Or I wanted to facilitate, like I said, that, you know, unstructured activity so that maybe you are talking to somebody from, you know, maybe you and Spencer decide to go off somewhere with, you know, Laramie and Jim Hall or whomever, and you're sitting at a table and you've missed one of our required education sessions, but that's okay because the conversation that you're having over in this room is actually much more meaningful and much more useful to you in what you're currently doing. I don't mind that monolithic, like, you know, everyone follows the same path conferences. That's fine. But I wanted something where there was a smorgasbord. I wanted you to have to intentionally choose what you were going to go to. While also there's certain things I want everyone to be a part of. And I also want to facilitate, like I said, the different type of connections and unstructured conversations that might happen.
Yeah. When I first read the conference agenda, I had some concerns about the conflicting sessions. Mm-hmm. And I think I emailed you and I mm-hmm. asked you about it, and then you called and we talked through it. And having heard your reasoning behind it, I think you've got a wonderful idea on how you're kind of facilitating this idea that, you know, to reiterate and to rephrase what you told me on the phone was, mm-hmm. if Spencer and I and somebody want to hang out and not go to the next session and keep sitting at the table, we can.
Yeah. You know,
I think that's really cool.
I feel like I'm dunking on other sessions or Grand Lounge sessions at the conferences.
No, that's okay.
You know, Iowa was wonderful, but being able to sit and talk to, you know, you and Scott and the Illinois, group that we were with changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. Being able to talk later to, kind of those guys. It's those connections which make things meaningful. And not that listening to the speakers that we had then or, were bad, but even sometimes when I'm listening to those, big speakers that, are talking to us, I'm thinking, man, I really want to go and talk to that guy because I just thought of something that he said and I want to, I want to be able to create the conference experience that's meaningful to me, and so I want to make sure there's plenty of options. And so that's why we structured it the way that we did. We are going to have the Grand Lodge officers there and we have a little bit of session with them, but then a lot of our sessions are going to be more hands-on or more kind of talking about a particular tactic, with the idea being that we can't necessarily teach you totally this tactic. We can talk about the development of it or the theory behind it or the thoughts behind it, give you some resources, but then also give you some time to talk to, Alex Herbert or Mark Allred or Chris Greasy or, Chris Busby to take those ideas and then, develop them further with those experts. And then, you mentioned the unstructured part. We have two unstructured rooms, which I have no idea what's going to happen in these things, but I think it could be interesting.
I'm just going to set up and do tarot readings. It'll be fun.
I'm telling you, what you do is you just set up. I'll be your official photographer. People can pay me $15. I'll take a photo of you and them and like the card you picked for them that day. I will give them a beautiful print along with, some nice calligraphy explanation of, whatever they've got. But
I have to ask you about something that I don't know if I had mentioned this or whatever, but a little while back, went to a meeting of my home lodge, and big surprise, Chad Kopensky came out to Space Novum. So awesome. Really surprised me. So badass. It was our first, I think it was our January meeting. And, you brought with you some special coins. And you had mailed me one of the coins, and, the coins that you gave me, I have since mailed out to some people. Now, my question for you is this idea of the coin. Can we talk a little bit about it? So for those of you out there, it's a challenge coin. It's thick. It's nice. A real challenge coin, metal challenge coin, Midwest Conference, Masonic Education, Repass.
Solomon's Pass or Solomon's Repass.
Okay. Solomon's Repass. Tell me about this.
Okay. So now we're going to, I talked about this guy, Chad Simpson, and, Chad was my number two on this conference. Since I started working on it, I told him, Chad, I can't do this without you. And we had made many plans. And it was funny because I just got back from Missouri and a week after I got back from Missouri, Chad very suddenly and unexpectedly passed. And, but his idea was this coin. And, his idea was to make it a true challenge coin, meaning that, there was a challenge behind it. There was a task associated with it. And the idea he had was that the only way you could truly earn this coin was to give it away. So we would give that coin to the people who, for lack of a better word, already had a seat at the table in Masonic education. They already had, they already had the table to sit there and have the dinner with King Solomon. The way that you earned your coin was by giving it to somebody who you thought really should be at the table too. A voice that needed to be heard or should be heard. So you were summoning them to the table. You were summoning them to King Solomon's repast. And so the challenge that's done thoroughly by, somebody's honor is if we've given you a coin, if we've sent you a coin, we challenge you to give it to somebody else who deserves to be there. And then at the conference, you'll get your coin back, once you brought that guy with you to the conference, and a little something special for the, you know, the guy you gave it to. Education can't exist in a bubble. Education can't exist disconnected. Education, especially Masonic education, thrives in connection and dies in isolation. And there's so many voices out there, and I am throwing this on you because I would say, like, you know this, but you do know this. There's so many voices out there that don't get heard, and there's so many voices out there that need to be heard. If even just to say, me too, or even just to say, man, that just doesn't work for me, but this does, or even just to say, oh, thank goodness, we've been struggling with that forever. So many voices that need to be heard, and those of us who have a seat at the table, we kind of have a responsibility from time to time to put another chair there and bring another guy with us. That was the coin.
I love this. I love the idea, and that's why I sent the coin out to a few people. I think you gave me 3 of them, plus the original one I had, so I had 4. So I have since given or mailed away 4 of them, and I'm.
If you want more, I am glad to send you out. I got a box of a couple. You know, some I handed them out to a lot of people, but I still have more because I have a sneaking suspicion that. I was seeing a suspicion that now that we've kind of started registration and started doing that, I'm going to get a few emails saying, well, where's my coin? And I'll be sending, you know, more out, which is wonderful because, you know, again, if it sits on your shelf, it's wonderful. But the challenge is,
you know, give it away.
Give it away.
Yeah.
Because that's what education should be about. So.
Yeah. And I think as just an aside to this idea that I've always felt like when guys like you, when guys like me, you know, we kind of get into these positions, oftentimes we are, I don't know, like it be somehow something happens and we say, how can we use our quote unquote power and influence to bring somebody else up? Who we know should be go farther than us.
Right.
Like, how can I be the stairs that somebody steps on? Right. You know? And I think this idea really helps to put that into action to say, you know, I know for a fact there's a dude I wanted to come to Masonic Week, and he can't make it. And I'm hoping that he'll pick up the coin, and I hope he'll make it to the Midwest Conference because I think I've told him, I said, you know, for a young guy, you are so involved in Freemasonry. You're too involved, but I don't want to tell you to stop because I think he's such a good force for Masonic education and brotherhood and all these things. And so I think this is a great opportunity for those brothers to be singled out and to say, hey, you know, you are somebody who really should be at this table.
Well, and that's, I mean, getting, you know, meta for a second. I remember sitting as senior warden, and in Ohio, we have annual lodge inspections where we have to exemplify a degree, and, you know, the district leadership comes down and, you know, tells us what we did wrong and right and whatever. And I remember that our district deputy at the time singled me out when he gave his oral report. And, you know, singled me out and said, you did a really great job with the ritual. You did a really great job, you know, here. And as a young guy, like, this guy had all those wonderful, like, letters before and after his name, right? You know, right, worshipful, district deputy. He since went on to become Grand Master, and he's a very good friend. But it started kind of there, him saying, like, oh, I notice you. I see you. And, you know, everyone kind of wants to be seen. Everyone kind of wants to be heard. And, you're right. As when you get in that position of power or influence, even though, I mean, I don't know how much I necessarily have, but it's incumbent upon you to see and hear, you know, whatever is given to you, you know, you really need to give it to others. So, and it's kind of why, if you look, a lot of the names that you're going to see on our schedule probably aren't names you've heard before. Maybe Alex Herbert you may have heard of, only because he wrote a book called the Lodge Liberté that made some noise, but I'm making him do something else just because I can. Chris Busby's name a lot of, well, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of times these things, you kind of lean on your friends. And, but also a lot of my friends in Ohio are guys that I really think should be heard. You know, Chris Greasy, is somebody that, he's really well known in his district, but, you know, he's got some great ideas and does some phenomenal work and he needs to be heard. The one person that I'm really excited about, as silly as this sounds, and I think you may appreciate the story more than anybody else. We have a guy talking about the use of a chamber of reflection, with a blue lodge. In Ohio, we're allowed to. We've written, you know, guidelines, for this that have been around for a while. The guy who's doing it is a guy named Rob Painter. Rob has been a Mason for about a year and a half. In Ohio, we have something called our Royal Schofield Society, which is a Masonic education honor society where people have, you know, they have to do a lot of work in order to earn this. It's exploring, you know, personal connections as well as external connections. There's a lot of work to do it. Dude's done it. And his masterpiece, which was, you know, you have to do this researched piece that is both personal, and connects to an established body of research. His was on the use of a chamber of reflection in Blue Lodge. And I wasn't able to go see his masterpiece. Other guys were. But, the next day, most of Charlie Murphy, who has been big in this conference, called me and said, you gotta meet this guy, you know, Rob Painter, you gotta talk to him. And, I texted him congratulations on finishing his masterpiece. Once I found out what it was, I started, just talking to him and realizing, first off, I made his day because I asked him if he'd actually looked at Ohio's, guidelines for Chamber of Reflection. He said, oh yeah, that was a lot of the basis of what I did. I said, well, you know, I wrote those, right? And you just, you know, you almost hear his face blanch over the phone. I'm like, believe me, I'm nobody important, but that's kind of cool that you actually read something that I wrote. Thank you. At least somebody did. But then when I said, you know, I keep hearing from all these guys, you know, my circle, I keep hearing that your presentation was so wonderful, so heartfelt, so, you know, I got this conference coming up and I've wanted something about the Chamber of Reflection. Could you kind of talk to me about your thinking and what, you know, what you did? And after about 5 minutes, I said, would you consider presenting at this conference? And I mean, the phone went quiet. I don't know this guy that well, but I mean, I imagine it's the first time he was ever asked to speak for something Masonically. The first time he felt like he had a seat at the table. For the first time it felt like, oh, somebody saw him and heard him. He was so honored and so grateful and so gracious. And I know his presentation is going to be absolutely phenomenal because I've heard what he's saying and I've heard what he's thinking and how meaningful it is to him and what he wants to do with his lodge. That, and truthfully, if nobody else sees it except me, and it's going to be a win and a phenomenal presentation and a phenomenal benefit and a step forward for Masonic education, because this guy gets a chance to step up and show who he is and what he knows. So anyway, but long story short, I'm trying to feature names that we haven't necessarily heard from in that world of, you know, Masonic education, by also bringing up some names that we also do know, you know, like Chris Busby, like Alex Herbert, like Dr. Heather Calloway from Center for Fraternal Research at a university. You know, we're trying to, again, feature the old and the new.
Which is so important because I'll tell you, as somebody who speaks at conferences, and I do a lot of that, I can tell you that as somebody who goes around at these things, I am like, I've done this stuff a lot. Are you sure you want me to come out? Like, there's gotta be like some more talent, right? And that's why, like, we have some of these websites, you know, where we're trying to showcase other speakers and things, because it can't all, like, thus
spoke. Can we hear you talk about, you know,
well,
pick something.
Yeah. Exactly, right? But like, it's thus spoke Zarathustra. He comes down and he says, like, you think you're the ebb of mankind? You know what I mean? Like, you gotta go farther. There's newer guys out there. There's more people who know incredible things, and they deserve to be heard. And like, honestly, it's actually a disservice, I think, to a lot of brothers, to most of our constituency, that the tragedy happens when they don't get to put their idea in front of you.
Right. Well, whole books and plays have been written about, you know, attention must be paid and guys, you know, being able to be heard. But that's why I think, you know, some of those websites you mentioned that do list Masonic speakers, and thank you, because I actually did get a speaking gig off of one of those, so thanks for that. That is important because, I mean, if you are planning a conference, if you are planning an in-gathering, if you are planning, you know, something, you think, well, who can I get to speak? You do lean on your friends, but then you also, you go and you go, well, I know these people from this podcast or these people from this, you know, jurisdiction. It's hard to find those new voices. And conferences like this, or, you know, some of those pop-up things, like we're seeing a lot more online things. Like Ohio had their traveling Masonic road shows, and they did those both in person and virtual, the different Masonic cons that are out there. There's more and more opportunity for guys to gather, to see those newer voices. And sometimes, you know, we just got to make sure that, during those opportunities that we do try to focus on, oh, as well as, you know, if we're going to have, you know, all the TMR guys there, maybe we could also bring up somebody who's, you know, we haven't heard before. So.
Absolutely.
My dog are eating behind me, so I apologize if we're
here. No, you're fine. I have four dogs. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, you're good. Yeah. So
Three dogs.
Trouble's a great dog, but sometimes she just makes weird noises when she eats, so I apologize for that. Going back to the unstructured thing, this is something that actually came from a conversation with you and with some of our friends. We have two unstructured things that are happening through our Ohio Lodge of Research. And one is I'm giving them a room / like a resource room where we're just going to have guys from the Ohio Lodge of Research or OLR there. And so we're telling guys, bring a question, bring something that's like half written, bring a laundry list of things you want to know, bring something that you may want to, you know, research, go to that room. Guys will be there with, you know, the smart guys from the Ohio Lodge of Research will be there with, you know, their resources, and they'll help you, with that. And so it's just, if you want to meet the guys who are doing research in Ohio, go to this room. One thing they're also doing in this room, which I have no idea this is going to work, but it should be interesting. We're calling them Masonic Lightning Talks. So we have essentially blocks of time where guys can sign up for 15 minutes and they can get up and they have 15 minutes on stage in front of an audience, and it can be anything Masonic. Ideally, it's going to be, you know, appropriate, but we're doing this for guys who maybe has something they've always kind of wanted to put in front of an audience. Maybe something they've always wanted to put in front of a larger audience. Maybe something that's not even necessarily half formed yet, but it's just kind of an idea they kind of want to talk through and say, does this make sense? And get that feedback. So we are jokingly calling it, you know, Masonic Open Mic Night, but we have some sessions there for guys just to kind of get up and talk and get that feedback. Again, structured, unstructured activities. It's an experiment. And one of the things we're trying to do with this conference is, well, we'll try it. If it works, great. If not, well, we tried it and we'll learn from it and move on. So.
Sounds like it's going to be an amazing time. I'll be there, of course. I know Spencer is going to be with me. He and I have already arranged that we'll be driving together 6.5 hours. And that alone, that experience alone is worth the damn road trip anyway. So it's going to be awesome. We're really looking forward to it. Chad, I can't thank you enough for, A, having the tenacity to stay after me because I'm flighty, and B, I want to thank you for coming on and really everything you do for Masonic education. I know is not going to just culminate. This is not going to be your peak in Masonry, but I'm sure it's going to be a shiny spot in your memory for years to come, and I'm really looking forward to this event.
Thank you, and you know, as always, I say the same thing about you. I mean, I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for, you know, the time that you give me and, you know, and the support. And you always say just such nice things, and I'm always wondering, like, who you're actually talking about. But thank you very much. I really appreciate the kind words and the help.
It is you, my brother.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, because that's – I usually get to see you at the conference, and then we get to, like, go play. I can't wait for it.
It's going
to
be great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, everybody, I want to thank our guest, Brother Chad Kapinski. If you have it in you to make it to this event, I strongly encourage you to do so. Go to mcme1949.org, and then you're going to click on the schedule. You'll go to the events page where you'll see that. You'll see the agenda for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Maybe Sunday happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, sometimes, but we always have breakfast together and finish up a little bit of business. So it's a lot of fun. As well as you can register and pay for the conference, number one. Number two, you can book your stay at the Courtyard Canton Hotel. They have a special rate set up for y'all. And also, at the top of the page, there's something that says Join MCME. And this is really important. I talked about it last week. You can actually join and become part of the Midwest Conference and have a vote at the table and a say in what happens with the Masonic Conference here. And that is you can join at the individual level for $50. You can join at the organization level for $150. And you can join at the Grand Lodge level, right? And that's, I think that's $500. And right. You get respective votes that go along with those. Please check it out. And I guess aside from that, I want to say thank you all for listening. If you would like to support the WCY podcast, again, please check out WCYpodcast.com, and our continued thanks to those patrons that we have, our contributors, fellows, legacy partners, and our producers. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, you're up.